Thanks so much, worship team. That was great. You made me sing. How dare you? I'd be remiss not to point out, Marv and Linda and Emery are back. I know we announced that when they actually got back into the area, but you're Saturday night crowd, but you're here tonight. It's dark outside this morning. Whew. It's been a long week. But I would be remiss not to to point out and embarrass the both of you a little bit. And not only are we thrilled that you're back and it's a miracle, but for the rest of us, your love and dedication to each other teaches us about God's unconditional love for us, about Christ's dedication to His people. Your marriage reflects that. And even while you're down in exile for, 3 months almost? You loved each other, you cared for each other through sickness and in health. And, that teaches us, that teaches me. Thank you for that. Thank you for the testimony. You sitting here today teaches me about the love of Christ, so thank you. We're doing a first-person sermon this morning. And, afterwards, I was talking to Bruce last night, and I said, you know, the sermon doesn't really lead right into communion, so good luck, because Pastor Bruce is doing communion. But I tell you, Pastor Bruce, thank you for last night, and prophetically, thank you for this morning. We will take communion after the sermon, and as always, communion is open to anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We invite you to come and partake with us, but we will do that right after the sermon, just so you're prepared. We're doing a first-person sermon here. If you have your Bibles, though, I'd like you to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 19. And the reason I'm having you do that is, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of the red chairback Bibles around you. They're queued up for the most part. And as always, if you don't own a Bible, feel free to take one of those Bibles home with you, read it, put your name in it. It's our gift to you. We want you to get in the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. But what I want you to do, because I'm going to be doing a first-person sermon, I want you to stick a finger in there, stick your bulletin in there, put a hamster in there, something. Not the hamster. Put something in there, and later on today, later on tomorrow, next week, something, pull out this text, read it, and re-experience the sermon. How this is going to work is I'm going to preach the sermon as if I was a character in the story, and so I will eventually turn around, put my Bible back behind me, and when I turn around, I'll be a different character, and I'll preach the sermon as if I was a character in this biblical narrative. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you that you are greater and stronger and higher. Thank you that in our weakness you are strong. Thank you that in our mistakes and our human fallacy, your grace is there to cover us. There is nothing that is so large that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover it, that we cannot find forgiveness in him, that we cannot find restoration, that we cannot find new life. Thank you for reminding me of that over and over again, that I am a man desperately in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that as we glorify you through the preaching of your word, that I will decrease, the Lord Jesus Christ will increase, and that you'll transform us through the preaching of your word. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Fair warning, back in the sound booth, the sermon goes, volume-wise. I'm going to go turn this around. I'm going to take a swig of water, though, because, man, I don't know what it was. I took communion with the children's workers before, and there's nothing like a piece of matzo bread that, suck all the moisture out of your mouth. On the day of battle, No sword or spear could be found in the hand of any man in Israel. As the Philistine horde invaded Israel, invaded the promised land of God, Israel's army fled. We ran, we hid, we defected. Until there was only 600 men. 600. Not armed with swords and spears like the Philistines, but armed with pickaxes and sickles and axes and ox goads. Farming instruments. They came and invaded us, and we had nothing. My name is Ard Ben Eliezer. And ever since I was a small boy, the Philistines oppressed our people. They controlled our trade routes. They stole our land. They forbade us from having blacksmiths so that we could not build proper weapons to defend ourselves. And we let this happen. I grew up to a family of farmers, from a long line of farmers. And my family, like the rest of Israel, was obsessed with what you call the status quo. Just go along. Just make it work. Do whatever you have to do to get by. Just survive. Why believe God can work through you? Why believe God will work through you? Because He probably won't. My parents and grandparents never spoke those words out loud, but as they taught me about Yahweh, as they taught me about God, I knew those words were true. Never in my days had I seen faith in Yahweh cause anyone to take any action. It just told us what not to do. And so that's why, when King Saul demanded that Israel come to his aid and the aid of Jabesh-Gilead, I took my axe and ox goad from my family's farm and I joined the army. After the victory of that battle, I stayed. And we were divided. 2,000 were assigned to King Saul, and 1,000 were assigned to his son, Jonathan. I was Jonathan's armor bearer. I was in charge of protecting him, of carrying his things, and of carrying his sword. There were only 2 swords in all of Israel. One belonged to King Saul, and the other to Jonathan. When I first met Jonathan, he was a young man, slightly older than me, but we were both very young. And he was filled with passion. And unlike his father, King Saul, he didn't use his small army just to protect himself. No, he took his men, he took us, and we went and we attacked a Philistine garrison in Geba that was oppressing our people, and he chased them out of the promised land. But after he did that, the Philistine horde was upon us. And as their numbers grew and grew and grew, our men fled until we were down to 600 soldiers. 600 soldiers with 2 swords between us. The Philistines sent a raiding party throughout Israel, throughout the promised land of God. They burned our crops. They slaughtered our livestock. They murdered our people. King Saul withdrew the men. King Saul withdrew the small army we had left to Gibeah, near a cave under a pomegranate tree. He hid. He had snacks. And he was there with the priest Abijah, nephew of Ichabod, grandson of the rejected priest Eli. Saul was right to hide, though. Why believe that God will work through us? He probably won't. And then it got worse. It got so much worse. News came to us that the Philistines had taken the outpost at Michmash, just to the north of us. If they had penetrated this deeply into the promised land, we were done for. There was no more hope. Shortly after, Jonathan came to me once we got the news, and he separated me from the rest of the men. And he said to me, "Come on, let's cross over to the Philistine garrison. Don't tell my father." So as we walked through the dusty path and the dry air, and I tried to keep up with him, I knew why he didn't want to tell King Saul. King Saul would stop us. He wouldn't let us go. I had a hard time keeping up with him. Normally I didn't, but Jonathan was just running, and he was running fast, and I was weighed down with my axe and his sword at my side as I was carrying them. And as I was walking through that pathway, I thought a dust storm coming up because the air was filled with sand and I was having a hard time to breathe and the sky was becoming dark. But in a moment, the sky cleared. And there before me, I saw on the bluff just above us, the massive Philistine army. They all wore helmets. They all wore gauntlets and breastplates and armor. All of them had spears. All of them had swords. Some of them were on foot. Some of them were on horses. Some of them were in chariots. I looked down at my own axe. It wasn't more than a hatchet. And down at my sandals. And I said to Jonathan, "Jonathan, we can't get through. The soldiers are in between us and Michmash. We'll never make it." And then Jonathan smiled at me. He smiled. And he said, "I know a secret passage. It runs straight through the plains. Once we go through it, it will lead us right to the base of the outpost at Michmash. And then all we have to do is climb." He pointed to a small little cave, I thought. And he started walking to it, but I stopped him. And I said, "Jonathan, have you received a word from the Lord? Has He given you a dream? Has Yahweh given you a vision?" And Jonathan looked at me and he said, "No, none of those things." "Then how can we cross over? Why should we even go forward?" And he said, "Come on, let's cross over and go see this garrison of uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will help us. For the Lord can save, whether by many or by few." I agreed with him. These men, these Philistines, they did not acknowledge Yahweh. They did not acknowledge Him. They were in the promised land. They were in His land. They wanted to obliterate us from the face of the earth. He was right, but this was impossible. I thought about going back to tell King Saul he could stop this all right now. But instead I looked at Jonathan and I said, "Do whatever is in your heart. Whatever you decide, I will be with you." And then we passed through. On either side of the cave, there were large columns of rock shaped like animal teeth. And as we went through that passageway, it seemed like the passage at any moment would come alive and consume us. Jonathan was so far down the passage as I followed him. And as I walked through there, it was light outside, but it was dark down that passageway. And I could hear the marching of the Philistines in formation. I could hear the beating of their drums in my ear. I wanted to turn around, but Jonathan was too far ahead, so I followed. And then after about a mile, just as Jonathan said it would, the passage opened up right at the base of the outpost of Michmash. I saw him already there peering around the corner, and he saw me and he gestured for me to come over. So I looked out, and about 100 feet up, the Philistine garrison stood watch. They were all at least a head taller than any of us. They had their axes, their swords, their spears, their feathered helmets, that impenetrable armor. I looked at my own armor, thin leather. Jonathan's wasn't much better. And I pulled Jonathan back into the passageway. And I said, "Jonathan, this is madness. How do you know that Yahweh has delivered them into our hands?" And Jonathan, he looked at me right in the eye. And he said, "I don't. I don't know." "Jonathan, we can't do this. Why do you think God will work through us? He probably won't." Jonathan sat down, and I sat down next to him. He was thinking, and I was scared. I should have told King Saul. This dry air, I felt a trickle in my nose. The air was so dry. As I flicked my blood away, Jonathan finally spoke. And he said, "That's it. That's it, I got it. Ard, if you were up there and two soldiers came down, what would you do?"
"Well, it would make the most military sense to just try and crush them with boulders. But if that didn't work, I'd send a detachment of soldiers down to go take care of them."
"Exactly, exactly. So come on, let's go show ourselves to them. And if they do what we think that they would do, if they do the expected thing that would make the most military sense, and they say, 'Hey, stay down there, we're coming down to get you.' If they do that, then God's not in this, and we'll just stay where we are. We won't go up. But if they do what makes no sense, if they invite us up, then we know that the Lord has delivered them into our hand. That will be our sign." We stepped out of the passage, and then everything just started happening all at once. The Philistines saw us immediately, and one of the Philistines, I think he was the commander, stood up there and started to laugh, and he said, "Men! Men, come look! The Hebrews have come out of the holes they've been hiding in." One of the Philistines grabbed a boulder and picked it up over his head. But the commander stopped him. "No, no, put it down. Put it down. What can they do to us? They're pathetic. Look at them." "Boys, come on up here. And if you survive the climb, we'll teach you something." Jonathan looked away from them and back to me and said, "Follow me. Yahweh has delivered them to Israel." Before I could say anything, before I could react, he was climbing up the outpost wall. This was insane. This was insane. They wanted to torture us up there. And Jonathan wanted to climb up? I looked back at the passage. Oh, I should have told Saul. But even though I knew I was about to die, climbed up after him. And as we climbed, the Philistines peered over the top at us, mocking us. One of them began to laugh and said, "Look! They've only got two swords between the two of them. They've only got one sword between the two of them. How pathetic! A rock flew by my head. And another Philistine said, you better jump now. You better jump now. It'll be quicker for you than if you get up here. Another rock almost hit my head, and I heard the commander's voice again. He said, stop, stop, let them come up, let the pups come up. And another one said, yeah, pups indeed, look, they don't even have beards, they're just children. Is Israel's army so pathetic they have to send children to do the army's work? As I was climbing, I prayed to myself, I prayed to the Lord above, and I said, Yahweh, remember me when I die. And then Jonathan looked back down at me and said, come on, keep going. The Lord has handed them over to us. He was delusional. But he didn't sound delusional. And then he went over the top. They let him up. And he turned around. He turned his back to them. And he reached down to help me up. Out of breath from the climb, I looked around. And there were nearly 24 Philistine soldiers. The shortest of them stood a head taller than us. They all had spears, they all had swords, they all had helmets, and they all wore armor. Several of the Philistines lowered their spears and started to approach us. The commander spoke again, stop, stop, let them catch their breath, let the boys catch their breath. This won't be any fun. Unless they have air in their lungs to scream. Tell me, boys, have either of you heard of a blood eagle before? Which one of you wants to go first? And which one of you wants to watch? Jonathan looked behind himself and turned to me and said, hand me my sword. And with trembling hand, I unsheathed his sword and handed it to him. And the commander howled, What are you going to do, Hebrew? What do you think you're going to do? And the commander dropped his spear, unsheathed his sword, and Jonathan ran forward, and he brought his sword down on the Philistine commander. The Philistine brought his blade up in time, but the force of Jonathan's blow was so hard, he forced the blade back into his neck, back through his torso, and out the other side. The commander dropped his sword, and Jonathan bent down to pick it up and looked behind him, make sure he's down. And threw his own sword to me. I caught it, and he was most certainly dead, but I still ran him through. And in that moment, the Philistines were all upon us. They came at us with swords and spears, and it was tough to be sure. But as every swung hit its mark, every thrust of the blade found the weakness in the armor. And as Philistine after Philistine fell before our blades, I suddenly realized, this wasn't fighting. This was a dance. 20 Philistines fell before us in that first wave. And out of breath, I looked at Jonathan. And he smiled, and I smiled,
And then we looked up. And one of the raiding parties had arrived. And more troops stood before us. And they were as vast as the sand on the seashore. But I wasn't terrified for some reason. I wasn't afraid. I looked back over to Jonathan, and he gripped his sword with that same smile, and I gripped mine. But before anything happened, the ground began to shake, and the earth began to move. And then terror filled the Philistine ranks, and they turned and ran, and they turned and fought against each other. And as the mountains shook, and as the earth fell apart, we ran after them. And we knew it was the terror of Yahweh. It was the terror of God. I heard, back under the pomegranate tree, King Saul, when he got news of this victory, was more concerned with who was going to get the credit for it. But as the terror filled the Philistine army and as it spread throughout their massive ranks, Saul was forced to rally the troops. And as he did, the Israelites who had gone into hiding came back. Those who had deserted came and fought with us. And the ones who had defected to the Philistine side turned against the Philistines, and we chased them all the way past Beth Aven. King Saul was concerned about who would get the credit for this great victory. But the victory did not belong to King Saul. It didn't belong to Israel's army. It certainly didn't belong to me. It didn't even belong to Jonathan. It was Yahweh. It was the Lord. Yahweh does not work through armies or swords or axes or spears or even money. Yahweh works through the faith of His people. Yahweh works when His people trust Him. Why should you believe God can work through you? You should believe God can work through you because He will. You should believe God will work through you because He will. You take small steps of faith. Small steps. Small steps. You don't know if God's in it. But you take a small step of faith, and if God's there, you take another step, and another, and another. And if He's not, you back away. And if He is, you continue to walk. Just like Jonathan did. He had no sign. He had no vision. God did not speak to him and tell him what to do. But he took a small step of faith, and when God was in it, he took another. And another. And if God wasn't in it, He would have taken a step back. It's a little like dancing. Small steps. Small steps. If He's not in it, you take a step back. Take a step back. Small steps of faith. Small steps of faith. Keep going. You should believe God can work through you because He will. Dance with God.